Friday morning. Oh, good Friday morning from the Bronco for the John and Dave show. It is the best way to start your Friday. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Welcome to the side of the road in the Bronco. Here I am getting ready to have my man, the host with the most, Mr. John Acuff, join.
Literally about nothing. Please rise, remove your hats, and welcome Mr. John Acuff to the show.
Hey, hey. Look at us.
What up? Wait a second. What are you wearing today? I love it, and I don't even know what it is.
I'm ensconced in corgis. That's what I'm doing.
It makes perfect sense. It's Friday.
Yeah, look at all these corgis. I'm covered in corgis, as they say in England.
Do you have a corgi?
No, but I have a teenage daughter who thought this shirt was hilarious and then bought me that shirt and said the other day, "Dad, you haven't worn the corgi shirt." And I thought, you know what? I'm going to wear that Friday morning with Mr. Dave Hollis.
Why wouldn't you? This is right. Yeah. Oh, hey, man.
You have a Bronco? Is that an old Bronco, new Bronco?
It's a 1969 Ford Bronco. Thank you for asking. Her
what
name's
color?
The Incredible Hulk. It's a dark green, like a forest green. White stripe down the side.
Come on.
I mean, I will say it's a 1969 car. Maybe the only thing in this vehicle that is from 1969 is the VIN number, because it has been rebuilt like piece by piece. And so there's very little that is old on this old Bronco.
Was that the dream? Like, were you like, someday?
No, this was the midlife crisis. This was, I'm struggling to find happiness. I'm turning 40. Maybe investing a lot of money into a money pit called a Bronco would actually make me feel better about myself. That didn't actually work. I'm going to be honest, but it's a great ride.
It fixed everything, right? As soon as you owned it?
A silver bullet. You know what? If you're having trouble in your life, I can recommend one thing, and that's just go out and grab yourself a Bronco. Everything gets better immediately.
Exactly. I tried to have one of those midlife crises. I wanted there was a Ford Focus RS, which is like their super hatchback.
I'm not trying to laugh. I'm not trying to laugh. It's fine. That sounds good.
I thought I was a Jeep guy. My wife was like, "You get mad when you step in melted ice and socks in our kitchen. I don't know that you're a Jeep guy." And I was like, "Touche." And so I've got a GTI, a VW GTI, which is like a golf, like a little go-kart.
Which I love, by the way. I love that car.
Yeah, I love this car too. So then Ford has one that's like 350 horsepower. They only sold it in Europe. They brought it to America. And I was like, I'm going to go get one. We test drove it. And when Jenny got out, she was like, "I will throw up every time we drive this if you get this car." Because like, it's insane.
On rails.
I'm an aggressive driver. Like, I am an aggressive driver, so that was helpful for me to know. Okay, I'm not.
This is a strange segue, but can I ask, do you have a consciousness of when you realized that product placement was a thing in television programming?
Ooh.
And I'm going to tell you. Go ahead. Oh, please. I'm going to tell you mine, because you triggered it with what you just story told around.
For me, it was 24, like where they were like Jack Bauer. It'd be some long shot while he was like leaning on the hood of the car with the emblem. And I was like, I feel like they might have contributed some money to this program in some way. When did you realize it?
Same-ish kind of thing. It was actually, it was an episode of Alias where 17 times in a row, Jennifer Garner or Victor Garber or someone said, We're looking for a Ford Focus, a gray Ford Focus. We got to follow that Ford Focus. Like, they said the words Ford Focus. I thought it was a drinking game. Like, what is happening? Yeah. Follow the Ford Focus.
But that's my first time. Yeah, and then you go, it's weird. I might get a Ford Focus. I worked at Auto Trader for years. What? And we would do focus groups, and we'd ask people, "Why'd you buy that car?" And then go, "I researched cars for like a year, and then a guy on the bus told me this car was good." And we'd go. "Did you know the guy on the bus?" He'd be like, "Nah."
So nope.
like, "Why did you buy a Honda Element?" And they'd be like, "There was a stranger on a bus who had one, and he said it was good."
Feels
so,
right.
That stuff's fascinating to me. I didn't know you had that, dude. That is legit. You need to text me a photo of that.
We're going to finish the episode with a walk around of this very vehicle that I'm sitting inside of. It's like, it is in my pride and joy, for sure.
Well, the shirt is a good segue into the first question.
Let's go.
Which is, what dog would you put on a shirt? So you're going to some event. It's a weird event. I'll give you that. And they say, "Hey, you have to show up wearing a shirt that has a dog on it.
Yep.
That's one of the conditions for the event. I don't make the rules.
Yep.
And what dog are you putting on?
So the first, well, the first dogs I had when I was a kid, they don't count. But the first dogs I had as an adult were pugs. A tan pug named Chunk and a black pug named Lilo. And I would get the picture of Chunk, tan pug, and it would say pug life. That's it. Like thug life, pug life. I'm rolling around with just this because he just looked just really upset with everything that was happening. Like he wasn't mad, but disappointed all the time.
Yeah. I actually have a story about a shirt that had some form of that on it. We went to the Exotic Pet Expo, which if you're ever in Nashville and you have $3 and you're near the fairgrounds, it is the greatest experience you'll ever have because they sell everything like monkeys and like coyotes, things you shouldn't be able to buy. And I swear to you, I got a shirt because my wife wasn't paying attention. And it said, it was somebody's hands like that. And it said frog life. And she's like, you don't even own dart frogs. I was like, but that dude made a shirt that says frog life.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. I'm super into amphibian. And like, dude, there's people that sell shirts with little pockets for your sugar glider to sit in, like, which is like a flying squirrel. So if you're ever in town and it coincides, it is the best $3 you'll ever spend.
That's $3 good bucks. That's $3 good bucks right there.
Pug life. Transition, when are you going to Burning Man? Isn't that coming up?
Bad news. My year of saying yes inevitably has come up against COVID sometimes saying no. They have not agreed to do Burning Man this year. They pushed it for a year. So I know they canceled this year's Burning Man. So I said yes to something that I'd never done before, that I would never, ever do. I'm doing a whole host of those kinds of crazy things. It was happening end of August, early September, somewhere in there. And then they said, you know what, we'll see you in 2022. So I've already committed. I've put my money into the collection of other humans that are renting a motorhome, an RV. I'm already in. I put the money down. I can't get it back. So of course I am not going.
You don't register for Burning Man, right? You just throw money into the universe and it gets to them somehow. Like, is that how, like you say the word bliss four times in front of a mirror and what,
I don't know how it works. I think you just like start letting dirt accumulate on your skin and you walk through the doors and they're like, oh, you're a part of us. Welcome. That's come so on down.
Yeah. Okay. So what are three other things on your yes list from this year? So that one got postponed. It got a little canceled. What else are three? You know, you go, okay, John, that one got postponed. There's other things I've said yes to.
Other things I've said yes to. I mean, like, I actually think of my relationship with Heidi as a big, like, just say yes. Like, just go with it. Don't overanalyze it. Don't think too much about it. Just, like, go with the flow. There's, like, people ask all the time, like, who's going to move where if it actually continues? Yeah. Like, it's going to continue. And there's no, like, short-term answer to any of those questions. I'm just saying yes to continuing to be inside of a relationship that is just unbelievably great for me. Saying yes to like trying new things. So like I got a guitar. Like if you're going through a divorce and you don't get a guitar, are you even going through a divorce? Yeah. I don't know. But like me
does a lawyer give it to you at the settlement? Is that
he has
a closet of guitars and
thank you. I'm glad that we made it through this. I'm happy that it was amicable. And now Mr. Hollis, here is your guitar. Could you please start playing it? Because this is
what do you have to play your way out? You play a song as you walk, like Wonderwall, I'm assuming. Is that
that's my goal would be to have had that happen. I can play like four chords at this point, but like learning how to play guitar, like something like that. And then like another like yes for me has been like saying yes to these physical challenges that I'm doing in real time. So like I am today 30 days away from the first triathlon that I will ever complete in my life. Not the last one, but the first one, right?
That's
like,
awesome.
I am in this like crazy bulking up. I've been doing this crazy awesome strength training, working out kind of thing. I put on about 20 pounds in the last month. And it's so rad to see what my body is capable of because I've said yes to trying something that I'd never tried before. I love it.
That's amazing. But is it an acoustic guitar or an electric?
It's acoustic. I don't even know that I will graduate into electric.
And what kind of guitar is it? Is it a Martin?
It's brown.
Okay. It's brown. Is that what you said? It's brown. That's what everybody who's into guitars right now is like, you son of a, like,
it's tan, it's like tan with a brown neck. So, you know, like it's that one.
The long skinny part is darker brown.
It's a little darker. It's got like little silver things that like you twist and then the strings change sounds.
Are you taking lessons?
Yeah, I got it through something online, which is terrible, but also like the only way that you can do it, like the only way I could do it when I started was it was like Mashable sent me an email like, are you getting divorced? Here's some guitar lessons. And I was like,
dude, how good are their analytics?
Are you reading my diary? Yes, I am. I would love to actually have some. And so I paid the $70 for the 12 lessons or 20 lessons, whatever it is. I don't know what it is, but.
Do you, living in Austin, do you now have to form a band? Is that city rule?
Well, the thing is, I didn't even know I could grow facial hair. Between the guitar and the facial hair, I'm basically walking every day closer to a Mumford & Sons cover tribute band, which is ultimately my calling in life.
Would you call it Mumford & Uncles? Like it's extended family? Like what? I mean,
they're bringing everybody in. Hey, hey, big guy, come on down.
I just feel like if you're in Austin and you own a guitar, like this is, you're either going to start a food truck. That's one path. Or you're going to start a band. You're on the, like a year from now when we're doing these, we'll go, remember that time?
I just want you to notice this.
Yeah.
I don't have any leather wristbands, bracelets yet.
No bracelets.
But leather wristbands and bracelets feel like the next step in my year of saying yes. So it could happen.
I love all of this. I love all of this. Okay. Speaking of arms, because you just showed me them.
Let's go.
Will you get another tattoo?
100%. I'm actually in real time, like I'm about to throw it out to the community, but I am going to get an old timey sea captain. Like I want to get like gray grizzled hair, like big old beard. Hat? Yeah. The Gordon's fisherman like me.
Do you have a tattoo artist picked out already?
No, I don't. But like, I don't have right now anything but words, right? Like I have script on my body. I don't have pictures on my body. I was on this trip this last week down to the Dominican Republic and it was amazing. But like the person who runs the international work for this group called Help One Now, Arm Tat, Jason Morris, my pastor who went with me, Arm Tats. And I was looking and I was not a tattoo person growing up. I actually judged people who had tattoos. Sure. And now I am becoming a human who has them, but they have these beautiful pictures. They don't have text, they have pictures. Yeah. And so like when I was thinking of like, well, what's next for me? I'm going to have something that is representative of this thing that I am going through season wise of becoming the captain out on the choppy waters of my own life and the way that the book that I'm having come out here not terribly long from now kind of touches on those themes. So old timey captain, if someone knows how to draw an old timey captain, send it my way.
Dude, here's my one. I don't have a tattoo, but I have a lot of ideas about a lot of things. So you want there to be a wait and a line. You don't want to be able to get in that day for the tattoo parlor. Like you want the person to be booked out. Like
you're right.
When you find the person, you want them to go, yeah, I can see you in January because I'm dope and I do dope art. And then you go, cool. That means you're amazing. You don't like, you can get a tattoo today. I could walk into like Panama City Beach, Tats or Us and get one. And it's going to be a dolphin and it's going to be jumping in the form of a heart. That's not what we're trying to do here, Dave.
No,
it's not.
You're right. I want someone that's got at least a 5.5 week wait, like 5.5 weeks.
Good.
Number one, just a long enough window of time to make sure that you are absolutely positive that's the thing you want to get. But also, you know that that artist is dope.
Yeah. Well, I a friend of mine, his kid got a tattoo. And it was terrible. And he said to him, and I think this is a parenting lesson. He said, next time, let me know so I can help you pay for art. And I think you talk about a heart, like that's a full hearted parent that doesn't go like, oh, it's terrible. That it does says, hey, I love you. I want you to pay for art because art is expensive. So let me help you pay for art. Like, dude, who doesn't that's want good. A dad that says that?
That's good.
Ooh, that is good. Okay. Next question. If I got a tattoo, what do you think I should get?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Book cover? You think the latest
book? I mean, the thing is, I love the book. I do love the book cover. Like, I was going to try and bring it back to something around the books, but I was thinking of, like, well, what's the through line thing? Of your head, which is like all the goodness or something that's I don't know, like, I'm trying to think of, like, something. Like, I don't, it's weird to get yourself tattooed on yourself, but.
I think a statement. I think a statement is like, I'm a word guy. I think it'd be words. Like, I don't know. Do you know Ryan Holiday? Do you know him?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He has two of his books titles on his arms and like they work. Like,
yeah, in like very prominent places, by the way. Like, he can't do the dishes without recognizing that silence. Like, but what is it? Silence is the key.
The obstacle is the way.
Obstacle is the way.
Ego is the enemy.
Ego is the enemy.
Yeah, but I don't think he has the silence one. I don't know. He has two.
Stillness is the key. Yeah,
stillness is the key. That's commitment. That's commitment. Ooh, okay.
Here says, how about a soundtrack's cassette tape? Ooh, that's interesting.
Like an old school mixtape.
Old school mixtape.
That I like.
That's actually right.
Yeah, that is really okay. Dave, speaking of, we'll just take. I mean, that's live feedback. Let's improv a little bit. New question. It's the eighth grade. You're going to the eighth grade dance. Maybe you make a mixtape for a lady, a tenderoni, if you will. What songs are you putting on there? I need your hey, we're going to slow dance. And I'm like, maybe it's couples only skate at the Roller Kingdom. What are you putting on there?
This is such a crazy thing because when I was growing up, I lived in a house that did not afford us access to contemporary music except Weird Al Yankovic. Okay, so like nothing that was playing on the radio were things that we could buy. We could listen to, you know, like Worship Christian Contemporary or Weird Al Yankovic. Those were the two things. And so I actually remember when computers were introduced in classes, I was in line in my class and we were trying to create a graph of who had what as their favorite artist. And I could not, for the life of me, come up with a single name of a contemporary artist because I had no access. And so three people in a row said Tears for Fears was like their favorite. And so, of course, I just mimicked and was like, Tears for Fears. I love Tears for Fears. They're the best. They're so great. I love their tears. I like their tears and their fears. I'm just like super into both of their fears and tears. And so like the idea of in eighth grade, me putting together a mixtape, it's laughable because it would have been me like, reaching for like, you know, like what is cool? I didn't even know what cool was. Cool could have knocked me on the shoulder and I would have just been like, excuse me, I'm sorry, but I got in your way.
Are you my age? I'm 45. How old are you?
46. Yeah, 46.
Yeah. So like you missed a lot of rap. Like, did you miss Run DMC?
Run DMC. I mean, the thing is I have an appreciation for Run DMC now, but Run DMC for me was something that came as a classic throwback retro thing. Once I was out of my parents' house, yeah.
Dude, you miss like the Beastie Boys and Run DMC and Public Enemy and so many things. Big Daddy Kane even. I don't even know if he got Too Short. Wait, what about Young MC? No Young MC?
I mean, the thing is, I know Young MC from like an MTV show where he was someone who was coming out of retirement on a reality series. Like,
oh,
I
don't know Young MC. Tired MC. He's tired.
No.
Dude, that is so, I know. When you say, okay, so obviously, like when you say we could listen to this, we couldn't listen to the other stuff, the stuff you could listen to was like contemporary Christian music, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like so you got DC Talk.
Michael W. Smith, right?
DC Talk?
Just like, oh yeah, DC Talk, for sure. And by the way, like DC Talk was probably like, that's about as cool as it could get.
Jesus Freak was a great album. I don't care, like Love is a Verb, we're going to let that go. Because that, like, they were doing their best. But Jesus Freak, like The Hard Way, those are actually good. People are just listing stuff you missed. Boyz II Men, Tupac Shakur, Def Leppard. Holy cow, dude.
I mean, I saw this meme the other day. It was Tupac dressed up as like Tupac with his like Thug Life tattoo exposed. It said Tupac. And then it was Tupac, like the executive in a suit looking very, very sharp. And it said Usted Pac. And if you are a Spanish speaker, like that is
the formal
Pac. I just like, it made me laugh four times in the day. Anyway, I miss Tupac.
I love these conversations because it's so fascinating, the stuff. Because I'm just going like, my first concert, what was your first concert that you ever went to?
My first concert was the Steve Miller Band, which is such a random thing because it was like they'd been around for 100 years by the time I got to go.
But you didn't go to like a Christian concert before then?
No.
Because I went to Michael W. Smith and Amy Grant. They did like a synthesizer tour kind of deal. And that was my first concert. And so when people were like, my parents took me to Guns N' Roses, I'm like, well, we went to a different concert then.
No. I actually worked the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater as a concessions salesperson my senior year in high school, which may not mean anything to anyone, but it was an outdoor amphitheater down in Orange County, California, and every big act rolled through town. And as an 18-year-old who'd never been exposed to anything, I had a shirt that looked very similar to yours right now. It wasn't corgis, but it was something that was Hawaiian in like flavor that was part of what you had to wear inside of concessions. It allowed me access to a tunnel from a parking lot. I would roll in, do my work. But when an act showed up that I had never seen before, and all of a sudden it was like, what are these sounds? I would take that shirt off and I would go up on the grassy knoll and I would sit and enjoy a concert. And that was like, I like got a whole bunch of free, thank you very much concerts for having sold popcorn and beer to human beings as an 18-year-old.
That's like not knowing chocolate exists and then you go to Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. You know what I mean? Like, that's like, you thought the best snack and the best treat in the world was pretzels. Like your whole life, but then you went, then somebody's like, here's a factory full of chocolate you can swim in. Like, that is mind blowing to me. Oh my gosh. I love these conversations so much. They continue to crack me up. Okay, next question. What's your most awkward sport? So, you know, like if you had to throw the first pitch out at a baseball game, are you blowing that pitch? Like, are you like, is it hitting the lady in the stand? Or are you like, nah, I got it. I got a two seam fastball.
The nerves would get me probably in throwing out the first pitch, but I am someone who could, on a pretty regular basis from the mound, wind up, hit a catcher's glove. I'm not worried about that. I think like anything that involves a weapon, because I'm very like, I know that like in Texas now, like part of being here is that I should be looking forward to and have like the hunting season circled on my calendar. I'm just like, if you were to give me a bow and arrow, if you were to like make me throw a sword an axe. People throw axes.
You're thinking of ninjas. That's not the question.
I'm not a ninja. But if you were to ask me to shoot a gun at all, I would be awkward and scared and whatever because that's just not my jam. So I don't know. Maybe the guy who cross country skis and then skeet shoots. That would just be the worst because I don't want to cross country ski for 1 minute. And then you want me to shoot a gun too?
No.
Keep it. You can keep that sport.
As soon as we invented downhill skiing, cross country skiing should have ceased to exist.
Yes.
Like, as soon as we realized it's wicked cool to go down the mountain quickly.
Are they giving out awards to people who cross country ski? No, I don't understand.
It doesn't make any sense. No. I'm going clay shooting next week with a client. I'm going to South Dakota for a speaking engagement, and that was one of the options. I was like, let's go.
Yes.
Like, I'll try that.
That's
amazing. I was like, I think it's a shotgun. So I think I'll be all right. Could you do fly fishing? Like if somebody goes, hey.
I fished once. Yeah. I've only done it one time, but it was absolutely amazing. It was also unfair because it was like this completely stocked salmon fishery kind of thing that was just like ridiculous. So
like rainbow trout jumped into your pockets kind of thing.
100%. Like it was not a real representation. Like I threw the line out there and I had four fish just like knocking. Like, can I please come in?
Can I jump into your basket?
That'd be amazing.
Okay, last question. We're gonna end with a serious one. So we've got some fun. We've been frivolous, if you will. Is fame difficult? Because you went from not having people know you to having a lot of people know you. Like, we're not Matthew McConaughey, but you went from nobody to a lot of people. Is that challenging?
Well, the weird thing is I really don't think of myself as being famous. I happen to like maybe have a handful more people than most people that would recognize me in an airport or something. Sure. But like, I don't think of myself as being that. And I'm like, I hope like, God, like I'm as normal and weird and dorky as maybe almost anyone. So like, I think there's that. If there's anything that's weird about it, it's that, if someone were to walk up to me and I was having like a weird day, it ends up feeling like there's some pressure to make sure that I meet them and manage to like deliver on whatever expectation they might have of having an awesome interaction. Like maybe there's that, but I honestly, anytime I've ever had an interaction with anyone who's like, man, I'm super excited to meet you. I love your book, whatever. I'm going to be more excited to meet this person that I've never met before in real time. So like, it's just like, I don't know. Like it, yeah. doesn't,
it doesn't. I think you know. the level, like, I think it's, I don't get recognized a lot, but it's people giving me compliments at random moments of the day. So like, if I'm at an airport and somebody comes up, they go, "Hey, I really like your book." Who wouldn't like that? Like, if you're walking through the airport and somebody said, "Hey, that project you did was really good. Thank you." You'd be like, "Oh, wow!" Like, that's, and the joke I do with my wife, because again, I only really get recognized in Nashville because I speak here. When you speak in an area, those people work places. So like, if I go somewhere and somebody's like, "Oh," like at a shoe store, and is like, "Oh, hey, I read one of your books." Blah blah blah. When we walk to the car, I say to my wife, "Do you ever just feel so lucky that you get to spend all this time with me? I mean, that person, it was 2 minutes, but you get to go hiking with me today. Like, we're going to have lunch and dinner today on Saturday. Do you ever just," and she just goes, so that's our running joke. But I was curious because
I will say this, like, one thing that I just, like, I don't get, and and it's great because, like, I think keeps me super grounded. Like, I'll jump into DMs every once in a while and someone's like, "Hey, it's my husband's birthday," or, "Hey, we're doing like a fundraiser," or I just yesterday, someone in the community has a son who was having a surgery. And so like, I just real quick, like I recorded a video like, "Hey buddy, I just want to let you know that I'm praying for you. I hope that you have a fantastic day," whatever. And like, to me, it was like, you know, an 8 second thing. And to them, it was this like really cool, cool thing.
Yeah.
And I think that if there's a thing that kind of messes with you, it's the idea that like, someone just being decent and sending a quick note would be worthy of any kind of like, "Oh my goodness, I can't believe," because man, if I was going through a hard thing, I hope someone would want to send me a quick 8 second video and say like, "Good luck with your surgery." Like, it doesn't even occur to me that like, it should be a thing. So maybe that's a thing that's a little bit strange.
But no, but I think that's powerful too. Like, the idea that you can encourage and delight people is super fun. Like, that's, that's super fun. I mean, I remember Stephen Pressfield, who's one of my favorite authors, I remember where I was when I got the email. I asked him to endorse one of my books and he wrote me the kindest email back. And he was like, "Whatever you're doing, stop it and focus on writing." He's like, "Whatever you like," because it just was like so kind. And like, we were in Crested Butte. I remember where I was sitting in the car, like, and that was because I looked up to him as an author. So like, the chance to do it with other people is like, that's where it's super fun. Like, it's super fun. Okay, you promised a tour of the car. Let's go.
Let's. Speaking of things that'll bring people just a tiny bit of joy on a Friday, I mean, let's take a look at the old Bronco, shall we? All right. So it's a 1969 Ford Bronco.
Oh, come on.
I mean, there she is. I mean, look at this. I was ready for today's conversation. I have a tripod on the steering wheel.
That is legit. I mean,
this is it. This is the beast.
Dude, that is good looking, dude.
Right?
And the interior, like, did you upgrade the interior where it's like, it's got modern tech?
Well, I mean, look at this. This wasn't on the old original. You open the door and a foot holder.
Oh, like, watch out.
Down at you.
Watch out. But secret step up.
It's not like that fancy because like, truly when it rains, water just pools in the bottom of this thing. So it's still got like some of the classic features of 1969 in that.
And it's not fast, right? Is it one of those where like, because my friend has a Defender from the 60s and he's like, it likes 60 miles an hour. That's about.
Well, I mean, this will hurt somebody's feelings, but this isn't the 1969 engine. Oh. I have a Mustang engine in here.
Really? So
it's hold on. I got to see how to open. How do I open my hood?
I think you just say, "Siri, open hood."
Hey. Uh-oh.
Alexa, reveal engine.
Let's see. I know this is the kind of thing people love. I want to sit here, Dave, and watch you do this all day. All right.
There you go. All right. We got to end with the engine.
But I mean, look at this.
Oh, man.
Right? I mean, I don't know if you like an engine, but like it's a.
Is that a V8?
It's a V8. It's a 306. I don't know.
That's legit.
There's a lot of horsepower. So
you should, when I'm in Austin, I want to come see that vehicle, see you hang out on the patio. Done. Love this. Dave, last thing. Where can people go to pre-order your book? Like, this is book season.
It's book season.
Yeah.
We have a book called Built Through Courage coming out October 26th. If you go over to my website, MrDaveHollis.com, you can find out all the details about the book. Throw your email into the website. We'll start sending you updates on all the bonuses that you get with the book. And there's a way for you to order it from, frankly, anywhere they sell books on the entire planet. So check it out.
Awesome. All right. You guys heard it here. Guys, fun Friday. Dave, always a pleasure.
Thanks, brother.
I feel like I'm going to have to put a mixtape together for you on like things Dave missed in the summer of 1987. Yes. Like you didn't even know Pour Some Sugar on Me dominated one summer. Like one summer, it was the entire summer. And so I feel like I need to put together a mixtape for you just on songs you missed in 1987.
I need it. I'm ready for it. I hope you have a great weekend, brother.
See you, buddy.
All right. Take care, guys.